Been a couple of weeks now. We're just beginning to get acquainted with my friend Abram before he became Abraham. We had the first few verses, the first nine verses, his call and his limited response to that call in relation to the fact that God had told him to get out of the land and away from his family and so forth, but he kind of excused himself in the dragging along of Lot, which, I'll call it opinion, if you will, and we'll see if the facts bear it out. The preacher's opinion didn't belong with Abraham at all, and the bulk of Abraham's problems seemed to develop around the presence of Lot, the influence of Lot. Now, that doesn't change Abraham, and you have to keep in mind now that in God's eyes and in the Word of God, Abraham is a prime example of faith. And he's held up in Hebrews, in the faith chapter, just that way. And that's good. But I think the real encouraging thing is when we get down here in Genesis and we see really what kind of a man Abraham was, I think it's easy to come to the conclusion he's not too much different than you and I. He has some of the same failings, some of the same weaknesses. We're going to look at one of those weaknesses tonight. Beginning in verse 10. Now, he's been traveling around up here in the Promised Land, and now he's headed toward Egypt because of a famine. And I'll pick up with verse 11. And it came to pass when it was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarah, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that thou shalt say, they shall say, This is his wife, and they shall kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, and that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now, very interesting thing here. Was Abraham lying? No, he wasn't. She was his half-sister. Now, you know, a lot of times we throw this out, well, Abraham's making a flat-out lie. I'm going to ask the question again. Was Abraham lying? Yes. It's two ways, and you have to see it. It's a thing that is so common among us today. We will take a half-truth and call it the truth and make a lie out of it. All right? We do that, you know. I think we could stand up here for a long time and point out Abram's weakness in all of this. Now, he, you know, I'm going to pick on Alice. Can I pick on you tonight, hon? Is it all right? I love her. You know that, don't you? But she's a great one for looking way ahead and seeing all the obstacles that might come up. Now, I could condemn that, you know. It's very irritating. Here I am, I want to go rushing right down the middle of the road, in the middle of the white line on the freeway, you know. And she keeps telling me this car is coming. Well, I can't see those cars. I'm too busy looking for the white line and want to go straight ahead. She's right, quite often. But I think she'd admit, I keep telling you, you're borrowing trouble that hasn't arrived yet. And her and I, we're a good balance. She keeps me out of trouble a lot of times. But I worry about her worrying about things that don't happen. And that upsets me a little bit. Now, Abraham is the Alice type, or Alice is the Abraham type. All right? Now, she's full of faith. Okay? She's full of faith. And in God's eyes, I'm sure that she's a faithful woman, full of faith. But here Abraham is, he knows he's got to get down there to Egypt, and he knows what these Egyptians are. You know how we classify people? Okay, now the Egyptians are this way, and the Jews are this way, and the Germans, oh, we were talking about Germans, and we were talking about Italians. Did you ever do that? All Italians eat spaghetti. Right? Pizza, right. No, that's the right one. They eat pizza. And if you're Italy, they don't know what a pizza is. Okay? Okay? All right. So all Italians eat pizza. Because we call that an Italian dish over here. We're quick to classify people, and it would appear that Abraham had classified the Egyptians as being, well, it's a bad word to use in church, but I won't use it. You know what I'm thinking. Woman hungry, all right? That's a good diplomatic way of putting it. And you know that a stranger come down into the land of Egypt with a beautiful wife like Sarah, there's going to be a problem. And, you know, they'd probably murder me for you if they knew you and I were husband and wife. So we'll just tell a little white lie. You're my sister. And you know that's the truth. So we'll get by. They won't kill me. And, you know, it'll be you and your little white lie. You're playing the role of my sister that'll keep me alive and get us through this period that we have to spend in Egypt. Oh, isn't that terrible? You know, the thing that was wrong with it, in spite of all that God had promised and said, Abraham was learning his first major lesson, I think. You see, God had made promises, but he couldn't see how God would fulfill those promises. And because he couldn't see how God was going to do it, he felt that he had to do something to preserve himself. Okay? Now, how badly do we want to condemn that? Aren't you and I quick to look around and see what we are going to do to preserve what we have, what is ours, what we are, our standing in the community, etc., so forth and so on? The standing I've got isn't worth preserving, all right? The standing the Lord gives me is something I cherish, and I'll take it as he gives it. And if something that is wrong comes along, then I think that I would be wise to permit the Lord to handle it. And I think that if I were Abraham and my Sarah was going to be a danger to me, I think, put quotes around that, please. I told him, whenever I say think from the pulpit, you just kind of mark it, set it aside, because it doesn't amount to much. But I think that I'd let the Lord take care of that problem. But you see, I'm so much wiser than Abraham. How quick are we to condemn? Okay? But we have to look at this, because what we see in Abraham is so common to you and I. Here he is, in fear for what the Egyptians will do to him because of his wife's beauty. And he thinks that he'll be safer because she will be known as his sister. Now, this is the first of two times that they pull this stuff. And in verse 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, you see, Abraham's negative faith in the Lord brought results, but they weren't the ones that he wanted. Now, they got down into Egypt, and here is this man with a beautiful sister. And the princes of the land looked her over and went to Pharaoh and said, hey, you need another one for your harem. Here is a real beauty. You ought to see her. And she's not married. She is a man's sister. And the evidence we have in the scriptures is that Abram and Sarah was welcome, and Sarah was taken into the palace, and Abraham was heaped with additional riches that he didn't really need. And the quick result was all kinds of plagues upon the house of Pharaoh because of Sarah. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Now, I don't know how Pharaoh found this out. We don't seem to have any evidence here in Scripture. It could be that at the crucial moment, Sarah broke down and confessed. It could be that God sent a vision, a message, or something. Or maybe the advisors of Pharaoh found out. Or maybe somebody who knew Abraham was in the area and dropped the fact and it got back to Pharaoh. In any case, here is Pharaoh with all kinds of problems because of a woman in his house. Someone, you ever had those problems? Because of a woman in the house? Oh, come on now. You wouldn't dare say that. You know she'd haul off and bop you right where you sit. So be quiet, but go ahead and smile. Okay? You're smiling. I know what you're saying. All right. Now.
Well.
Hey, your turn will come. Okay. Okay. I have to admire Pharaoh here. You know, if you look at it from the human viewpoint and take away the hand of God and put yourself in Pharaoh's place, with his power and authority, you might call out the executioners. Get rid of a couple of problems. All right? Or maybe solve the major portion of the problem. The woman is a wife. Let's make a widow out of her. Then she's legal. Even God objects to that. Don't bet on it. I'm talking about human reasoning. Okay? Human reasoning. God is punishing him because he's going to take another man's wife. All right? Now, I don't know how well acquainted at this stage in man's history the Egyptians were acquainted with the Word of God. All right? I really don't know. But the indications are they weren't that well along, although they weren't that far from down the line either in the evolution of man. So, it's six of one and a half dozen of another. You can come to any conclusion you want. I think that Abraham really put his foot into it when he came up with this little plan, though. Now, keep this in mind. We've been over it. There isn't too much that we need to say. We recognize that Abraham did what a lot of people do today, made a little white lie and built a set of circumstances and called it truth and got himself into trouble. Now, keep it in mind because we're going to see him do exactly the same thing again a few years later. We'll get to it if we can in not too many weeks, but we'll see. Now, we don't have a passage of time. Pharaoh kind of boots him out. I don't know whether it was diplomatic in general or whether it was quite forceful. I think he would have been entitled to be mean about it if he were so inclined, considering the dirty trick that was pulled on him. All right? Again, human viewpoint, not necessarily God's. But we do know that he sent Abraham away. Now, I don't see any indication of passage of time between verse 20 of chapter 12 and verse 1 of chapter 13, but there we find Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. Now, we get a little different viewpoint of Abraham. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, into the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, into the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Full circle. All right? We had indications that after he built this first altar, that he went traveling around on his own, instead of staying in the place that God had seemed to indicate was that altar, and once again, he's worshiping God. I would say he's back in a reasonable fellowship. All right? Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Doesn't say anything about gold and silver and so forth, but he was well off. He was equipped. He had the necessities of life, and by most standards, even today, would have been considered a rich man. And the land was not able to bear them. Too many. that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, I'd say this is quite a Christian attitude. Here they are in the place that God had promised to Abraham. And Abraham is willing to take a position. I'm giving you first choice. I don't want your herdmen fighting with my herdmen. We can settle it peacefully. You choose. You go one way, I'll go the other. You go the other way, I'll go the other. First way. All right? But you have the choice. Now, two sides to that. We say that's a very Christian attitude. Give the other chance, the other fellow the best chance of it. And we know that according to the Word of God, that when you do that, God will work it out and you won't lose. All right? On the other hand, here Abraham is in the midst of the area that God had promised him would be his. And he had every right to say, hey, head down the road a piece. This is where I am. This is where God wants me. I'm going to stay there in spite of everything, and I don't want trouble. You go. All right. Not the way it worked out, but it might have been, again, the wisest way to do it. Let me tell you something. When you get to the place that we talked about this morning, where God wants you, it's best that you rest there a while and you let God do what he wants. Don't go rushing on through. All right? Now, let's see what happens. The offer is made, wise or not, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceeded. Now, Lot had his choice. He looked around, he picked that which appealed to the eye, the well-watered plains with the cities, you know, fellowship, human company. I think we're being social animals. I can understand how Lot felt. I want the company. Alice is a city girl. Can't bear to be away from the roar of the traffic. Sorry about that, hon. I'm going to call you Lot on the way home, all right? Really, she's a kind and gentle soul, and if I'm picking on her tonight, well, that's only because she's patient. And she won't beat me. Look at that look. She won't beat me up too hard. She never dares hit me while I'm driving. All right, so I'll drive home tonight. Okay. But, you see, God inserted verse 13. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I think this is a fact that either was beforehand apparent to Lot or must have soon become quite apparent. All right? And the wisdom of Lot, again, let's say he just wasn't too bright a boy. He chose wrong. I think I could preach a couple of sermons there, but I think you know well enough by now that when you get into a situation that Lot found himself in so often, the wise thing to do was turn tail and run. But instead, he settled down and put down roots, anchored himself right in the midst of it. Again, the cause of Abraham's trouble, Lot. Now, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Once again, God making a promise. You take a good look around, and everything that you can see, from horizon to horizon, and horizon to horizon, is yours. That included the cities, included the plains, it included the mountains, included the rivers, and no matter whether Lot was there or not, they, Abraham, and his seed, promised by God. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, I can't even pronounce it, which is in heaven, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now Abraham's commanded to do what he had jumped the gun on and did before. Walk the land and claim it in the name of God. All right. We'll pick up and in chapter 14 next week, and we'll see how much more trouble the man Lot can be to God's chosen vessel, Abraham.